Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. It is a football Friday, and it's hour number 2. Of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Now joining us, play-by-play NFL on CBS, Andrew Catalan does a great job. He'll be on the call for a game I hope we get in this weekend in Detroit between the Cleveland Browns and the Buffalo Bills. And Andrew's kind enough to join us right now. Andrew, how you been?
Hey, Zach. Good to talk to you, man. I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So I went to school at Temple with Deion Dawkins and Tyler Medikevich. So I've been seeing their pictures from their house in Buffalo, both their homes. I don't know how the heck the Bills are going to get to Detroit with all that snow.
Yeah, it's quite a storm. It's funny. I was in Buffalo for an hour yesterday. I landed around 3 o'clock, and then at 4 o'clock they moved the game, and immediately our crew got in a car and drove to Detroit. We had to get out of Dodge as quickly as we could. So they're getting pounded there with the snow. It's amazing. I mean, I went to Syracuse, so I've seen snow. And I know Buffalo people are used to that, but this is something now. So, yeah, I mean, I know the Bills met virtually today. They did not go to their facility, and they're hoping to be able to get out of town tomorrow afternoon and fly to Detroit. But I think right now everything is just kind of, you know, hour by hour as they figure out how they're going to dig out of this storm. I think it'll happen. I mean, I'm not concerned about them not figuring it out. I think worst case, the GM, Brandon Bean, said maybe if they had to go Sunday morning, they could. But, you know, I think that's everything's targeting for a 1 o'clock kick on Sunday here in Detroit.
Yeah, how about the logistics behind the scenes? I was reading up that you guys had some interesting travel rerouting. What was it, Amanda and then also James Lofton that were flying from what? It was San Diego, then they had a connecting flight in Detroit to then get to Buffalo, then had to go drive to Detroit?
Yeah, unfortunately for them, they landed in Detroit, and then if we had gotten the news maybe 20 minutes later, they could have just stayed in Detroit, so they had to circle back around. And hey, look, these are little things. We're all happy to do the game, but it's just, it's crazy. I mean, I really thought yesterday afternoon, early in the afternoon, they were going to figure out a way to play this game on Sunday in Buffalo. And clearly things flipped, and it's all for safety concerns, and they don't want to dedicate resources to people who might need it to, you know, clean out the stadium or get the roads around the stadium ready. So, you know, safety always comes first, and yeah, we're going to remember this weekend for a while. I think that I know that, but we're all excited to get it going here in Detroit.
I know the resources is why they moved this game. It's not because Buffalo doesn't have a roof on their stadium, but that has become a big debate. How will you guys handle that on Sunday? Because I am not a fan if the Bills, whenever they build this new stadium, and it looks like they're not going to put a roof on it if they do elect to alter that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine going to Buffalo
stupid
for a game and having a roof on top. I mean, I'm old school. I like the cold weather games. I couldn't have been more excited to have this game in Buffalo Sunday. I was ready to roll. You know, it's like old school backyard football. I think people love seeing that. And certainly you're going to get some incredible scenes if you have an open air stadium. So, you know, again, it has nothing to do with this weekend, but I'm glad that their plan is to not have a dome because I like seeing the cold weather games.
But you have a big platform. I think you got to kind of lead that charge and try to shut up everyone that's trying to put a roof on the new stadium this weekend. That responsibility's on you, Andrew Catalan.
I'm happy to take it on. Old school guy. Bring it on.
So what is the vibe? I don't know how much have you guys been Zooming with the Bills now in these production meetings, because the last 2 weeks they lose that game to the Jets, and then we know what happened last week in one of the craziest games I've ever seen in a loss against Minnesota.
Yeah, we haven't met with them yet this week. We're scheduled to do that tomorrow. But you're right, this is a big game for Buffalo, and it's been a crazy week. I mean, you know, Wednesday they had a bunch of guys sick, so they had to adjust their practice. They didn't have enough guys to practice. Then yesterday the game gets moved. They're trying to get some guys back from the illness, do an extra walkthrough. Today, didn't practice. They met virtually. Tomorrow, they're going to have to dig out to fly out. So, you know, it's been a week where, you know, not routine, that's for sure. And this is a team that needs to win this game. I mean, they, you know, the last two games, they've had chances, as we know. You mentioned it, the Minnesota game they definitely should have won. This team's got to come back and beat a Browns team that's very capable. I mean, I know they got pounded by the Dolphins last week, but if Nick Chubb gets hot, he's a very dangerous running back, as we all know. I think Brissett can make some plays in the pass game. Look, people are going to think that the Bills are, you know, rightfully favored in this game, but I don't think Cleveland is as bad as their 3-6 record. So it's a big game for Buffalo, and they need to bounce back on a short week coming up because they play Thanksgiving against the Lions.
How big is the concern level for you with the Bills?
Not very big. I still think they're a really talented team. I think the big thing now is it'll be tougher for them to get the one seed and get home field advantage for the playoffs, which I think would have been a massive deal for them in January. But that's not to say that this team, if they get in the playoffs, which I think they will, can't go on the road. They already won at Kansas City this year. I think they can win at Tennessee or wherever it may be. I think that the odds of them getting to the Super Bowl go down a little bit if they're not the one seed, but they're still capable of getting there. I think they're really talented. They've been banged up. I mean, Micah Hyde's a big loss, but Jordan Poyer hasn't played much. They're hoping to have him back on Sunday. He's listed as questionable. I know, you know, Bills, you know, they want to make excuses, but you know, they've been banged up. They've had a tough part of their schedule. I still believe in this team and the culture that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have developed.
Andrew Catalan here with us. He will be on the call, Bills and Browns, hopefully on Sunday at 1 o'clock on CBS. When it gets to the Deshaun Watson situation, he was allowed to start practicing again this week. We know the suspension is just about wrapping up. How much of a story is that when you guys have this unfold on Sunday with the broadcast?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing this week is how they divvied up the reps to get Brissett ready to play against Buffalo, but also wanting Watson to get reps with the first team because they've already said that he's going to start in a couple weeks in Houston, of all places. So they were very tight-lipped about that. They didn't say how they broke it down. But as Kevin Stefanski said, there's really no playbook for this. I mean, what do they turn to look on history of how to get a guy ready who's been suspended for 11 games? So, you know, working him back into practice, making sure he feels comfortable with the first team while also keeping the focus on this week's game, I think it's a tough spot for their coaching staff. They said they've had a plan since day one. They didn't want to share it. We haven't met with them yet, but that was what they said, you know, to the media in Cleveland this week. So I think that's an interesting part of this, this team that's hoping that they can get hot in December with Watson as their QB.
What do you think the crowd's going to be like on Sunday?
I don't know. That's fascinating. I mean, Bills fans and Browns fans, but Bills fans especially, you know, they turn out, you know, when
they're
I
nuts.
Do Bills
yeah.
games, yeah, when I do Bills games on the road, it's like half the stadium. So, you know, there's a road game now. I mean, it's technically neutral site, I guess. But, you know, can they get from Buffalo to Detroit? Now, I made the drive yesterday. It was about 5 hours. But can some of these people who live in Buffalo get out of town to do that? I don't know. And it's a lot closer to Cleveland. Cleveland's only about 2.5 hours from Detroit. So I would think that the Browns fans can get in their car and easily drive. In fact, the team is not even flying to Detroit. They're taking a bus. So it's not that far away from Cleveland. Bills fans, I know, travel. I don't know. It's going to be weird. Certainly, it's not going to be the scene we were hoping for on Sunday in Buffalo, where it would have been wild to see those pictures. I have no idea what to expect. It's going to be very unique.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like, we're kind of used to some buildings being empty from how games were broadcasted in 2020 and then slowly getting back to normal in 2021. How does that change you as a broadcaster? I know you still try to have the same energy, but when you don't have a packed crowd, how does that alter things for you guys?
Yeah, you know, not much. I think I still have the same excitement level and just try to bring the energy no matter what the atmosphere is. I think painting the scene of what it's like is important. I mean, for those watching at home, and we know there'll be a lot of people in Western New York who are snowed in watching the game, they want to know what it sounds like, what it feels like. So I think showing and describing that scene is important. But in terms of if it's a flat crowd, I mean, I've done games when there's not a lot of people in the building. I've done college basketball games in empty gyms. I mean, I just think that, you know, I've gotten used to that. I'm not too worried about that, other than just making sure I do a good job of painting the picture of what's going on.
Andrew Catalan here with us. I want to go to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is wide open this year. Mahomes was looking like the MVP. How much pressure do you think is on them? Because a few years ago when they got that first Super Bowl, they started, like a lot of teams do, talk dynasty. And since they've been a heck of a team. They've been to another Super Bowl, lost in a conference title game. But I don't know if it's more up for the taking than this year.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I don't see them, and I haven't had one of their games this year, but I don't see them feeling the pressure. I think that if anything, everyone was picking Buffalo, and then they lost to Buffalo. I think that maybe that took a little bit of pressure off of them, where they, okay, probably not going to be the one seed. We're going to have to earn our way. We're not going to be the focus. We're not going to be the darlings. Well, very quietly, they've obviously come back to take over that top spot. So, I think that Andy Reid is such a good coach. He's been through so many different experiences and, you know, different seasons in his career that he knows how to prepare his team, knows how to fire him, knows how to push the right buttons. I think Kadarius Toney is a great pickup. I mean, I think that, you know, I understand the Giants just weren't seeing eye to eye with him, but I think he could be a big part of their offense going forward. And I think they're going to play really well. I think ultimately we could be headed for another Buffalo-KC rematch.
Out of Buffalo, if you take Buffalo and KC out of the conversation, who's the team then that you trust the most in the AFC?
You know, I think you got to give Tennessee a lot of credit. And I know their division is not that good.
Vrabel's great. He's a great coach.
He's great. I mean, he's great. He's a great coach. I've had them a few times this year. I think that that team believes in Vrabel so much, and they've taken on his identity. They're hard-nosed. They're physical. They don't make excuses. I mean, they've had some key guys out the last couple weeks and have found ways to win. You know, I know it's not pretty, but when you have Derrick Henry and you have a physical defense that can force some takeaways and Ryan Tannehill doesn't turn the ball over that much, that's a recipe to win in the playoffs. I know that they're not a sexy pick, but I think they're a dangerous team.
Are the Ravens and Dolphins just playoff teams, or can you see them getting hot and get into a Super Bowl?
No, I think it's pretty wide open right now. I mean, I saw Miami and Detroit Halloween weekend. Their offense looked lights out. Met with Tyreek Hill before that game, and he looked at us and said, I think we can score 40 points a game. And we all kind of said, yeah, okay, 40 points a game. Well, look what they've done the last few weeks. I mean, they are capable of lighting up the scoreboard each and every week. And I'm going to see Baltimore next week in Jacksonville on Thanksgiving weekend. I saw them week one against the Jets, kind of a ho-hum game. I'm excited to see them again because I think they've grown a lot. I think Roquan Smith, the addition of him on that defense, you know, I think that this is going to be a tough team, and I think the schedule sets up favorably for Baltimore, too, to kind of climb the pecking order in the AFC. So, yeah, I think you can make a case for a lot of these teams, Zach, to really make a run, and it's just a question of who gets hot in January and maybe who gets home field.
Wrapping up with Andrew Catalan, we know the Packers aren't looking like they're going to be in the postseason. Now you start to get into the conversation of when do you start to actually play Jordan Love. Do you think that's a serious conversation that needs to be had or not yet?
I don't think so. Whether it's a conversation, maybe, but I don't think it's a decision they're going to make until much later in the year. They're paying Rodgers. They want to play him, I think. And, you know, obviously it's a tough situation that 4-7, you don't think that they're going to be able to make a run, but I think it would be some time yet. We're not there yet to bring in Love.
When you look at the NFC, who do you think the three best teams are in the NFC, Andrew Catalan?
I definitely think Philadelphia is number one. I'd say San Francisco. I know their record isn't there yet, but I think that Kyle Shanahan's really building something. and they're trending in the right direction. I think that's a team that'll get hot down the stretch and then can make some noise. And then after that, I mean, that's a good question. I guess you got to put Minnesota in that as the third team, in my opinion. You know, that was a really wild win, as you referenced earlier, against Buffalo. But they seem to find ways to win close games. That's what I've seen a lot this year, teams that win and lose. It's just those close games. People, you know, whether you have the experience and guys that have been through it before makes such a difference. And, hey, give them credit. They're finding ways to win these close games, and I think that bodes well going forward.
Two more from Andrew Catalan. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Andrew has the call for Bills and Browns this weekend, game being moved to Detroit. Jets, Pats. What, Zach Wilson, do you see up against Belichick and the Pats?
Yeah, you know, I heard him talking this morning on Good Morning Football. It was Kyle Brandt. I thought he made a great point. Like, it's time for Zach Wilson to make some memorable moments, right? I mean, as Kyle said, his biggest moment so far has been catching a touchdown this season. I think you want to go out there, and, yeah, or maybe he throws a pick or whatever, but I want to see some wow plays from Wilson. I think it's time for that. Obviously, it's a tough matchup. Belichick does so well against everybody, but especially against younger quarterbacks. That's going to be a fun one. I think that's a great game. I think it's a great matchup on CBS.
Before we let you run, I thought you handled it admirably, and I was laughing my ass off early in the year when you were dealing with the fans that were clowning Nathaniel Hackett, counting down the play clock. I don't see how he's back next year, but when it comes to Russell Wilson, we know he will definitely be back next year. Well, what's the future of Russ? Because you talk about making plays. I just haven't seen it from Russell Wilson this year.
Yeah, I had them last week in the game against Tennessee, and yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, their defense is really good. I mean, that's the thing that's keeping them around. But the offense is a mess. I think Hackett's grown this year because he came from – I mean, early in the year was such a mess. I was impressed with some of the things he told us last week about how he realized that he was making mistakes early in the year. He brought in Jerry Rosberg to try to help him out, get him back on track. But still, it's all about results in this league, and their offense is – you know, scoring 14 points a game, and that just can't happen. I know that Javonte Williams went out, but, you know, they should be doing better on offense, and it's a messy situation. You've also got new owners that came in, so that's a whole different dynamic now in Denver. So they've got a really good defense. It'll be fascinating to see what they do offensively, whether it's that coach or around Russell Wilson, because there's no way he's going anywhere else with that contract.
Andrew Catalan, have a great call coming up on Sunday. Bills and Browns, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
All right, Zach, enjoy the games on Sunday.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.